Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. My guest today is Peter Allen. Peter's the program director at College Excel, which works with millennials or young adults. And, well, good morning, Peter. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me, Lon. It's a pleasure.
So we're going to talk about a sort of a nebulous subject. The topic is, when do kids become adults? Incidentally, it is June the 22nd, 2016. But when do kids become adults? How do you get a handle on that so we all know what we're talking about, Peter?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is it depends on what country you live in and what culture you were raised in.
Okay.
And in American culture, I think we have actually a fairly rigid idea about this. It's certainly on or around the age of 18. At least that's the expectation. My admissions director and I, his name's Colin Cass, we started doing some research for a presentation we were going to give at a NATSAP conference. And what we found is basically that as many countries and cultures as there are on Earth, there are at least that many pathways to adulthood. And so it varies pretty widely. I'd say the U.S. is on the lower end of the spectrum, typically expecting folks to function as adults at around 18. And we found, for instance, in Papua New Guinea, that can stretch as much to 30, till age 30, where you would not be considered an adult until you were 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite variable around the world.
Okay. The thought that occurred while you were talking about, what is the rite of passage? How does that figure into it? Do these other countries have more of a rite of passage than we do in the States?
Some do and some don't. I think, you know, you can certainly point to certain things like the quinceañera in Mexico. That's the 15-year-old birthday where they're sort of expected to become an adult after that or treated as such. You know, the Jewish faith has the bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah. Again, referencing those cultures in Papua New Guinea, they have this ritual scarification they do. The Shambri people, they're called the crocodile people. That marks the passage into adulthood. And I think one of the interesting things just about that example is that can happen anywhere from age 11 to age 30. That's how big the range is for those folks. An 11-year-old can be an adult or a 30-year-old can be an adult. I think in the United States, we have less of a process or a rite of passage. Typically, it's the college experience or perhaps even military service once you turn 18. And I think that there's quite a few folks who are outside of those two things who are either not interested in doing that or have other plans for their life. And so for them, there may not be such a delineated rite of passage.
Well, did you find one of the things in this country is that age of maturity is very much determined by law. It used to be 21 when I was a kid, and then now it's 18. Are the other countries, are they as much a legal status, or is it more a cultural custom?
It seems to be more of a cultural custom. I think it's, you know, widely known in Europe that most of adolescents are drinking alcohol, even at home, to some extent, at the age of 14, 15, 16. So there's a cultural example of Europeans basically saying, we think that you're responsible enough to handle this with some supervision. In the United States, I think it's very interesting that at 18 years old, you are deemed responsible enough to sacrifice your life for your country, but not responsible enough to have a beer.
Yeah, well, our laws don't get very consistent, or we lose a consistency over time.
Certainly, and I think some of the energy around having a person be an adult at the age of 18 is expedient rather than biologically driven.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you mentioned when we were talking earlier about three points, and I think one of them was it depends on where you're at, but what are the three things that you found in your research revolving around this question, when do kids become adults, and what is it?
Well, I think the very most important thing we found is that countries around the world are treating the passage to adulthood very differently than how we are in the United States. So our first point is just that what we're doing in this country with our tendency to really try to push somebody into adulthood at 18, 19, or 20 is very different from what the rest of the world is doing. We found some very interesting statistics from the Pew Research Center. This one stands out to me in particular. In Italy, 60% of young adults ages 18 to 31 lived at home in the year 2014. In Argentina, that number was 71%. In all of Europe, the lowest number we found was in Denmark, and that was 19%. So basically, in Denmark, one out of five young adults ages 18 to 31 is living at home. In Canada, the number was 40%, two out of five. And so what we find is other countries have less of a problem with this issue because they have different cultural values around it. In Italy, their cultural value is very clearly around the family. They prioritize family connectivity and unity, whereas in America, I think the focus is on independence and autonomy. And so we want to get them out of the house and we want to get them into school and careers quickly.
Okay, so let's follow this through a little bit. So the failure to launch phenomenon that people have been talking about and programs of design, like such as yourselves, have been designed partially to solve this problem. It's a problem of expectations more, or root is in expectations more than an actual pathological problem. Is that correct?
That's my assertion, and what I want to say as a caveat is one of the things that I hope to do as I'm talking about this is distinguish actual clinical issues such as depression, anxiety, other mental health diagnoses that the young adult is experiencing, which is interfering with their ability to launch a successful life, versus, the classic story you hear about is sort of the 22 or 23-year-old playing video games in the basement. Mm-hmm. And I'm simplifying that just because of the time we have, but in those situations, I think we're really interested in determining what the best approach is. And I don't believe that in every case where you have the quote-unquote failure to launch, and the term that I like to use is emerging adulthood, but every time you have one of these cases, it merits clinical intervention. And so we want to figure out what's actually needed. Sometimes the young adult may need counseling and coaching and structure. Sometimes the parents just may need help on their communication and boundary setting. Sometimes there just needs to be more of a conversation about what the rules of the house are and what the expectations are. But it's not necessarily always pathological, as you said.
Okay, so I guess part of it is the definition of the way you look at it. I had an experience with my oldest daughter at one point, is that she was at college, and, there were some problems adjusting to that lifestyle, but she was had a traumatic event. She was working at a fast food and got robbed at gunpoint, and so came back home. I said, okay, come on back home. Let's settle it down and work our way through this. And she settled in, and after she'd been here a year and a half, she had no plans to go back to college. She was working, but she was, and we weren't having her pay rent, but she was working and didn't have any savings. But she did have 26 expensive sweaters in her drawers. And so this was getting to be a problem. It wasn't pathological. She was just too comfortable. And so we put the pressure on and say, okay, it's time to move on. But that was, I think, in what you're talking about, she got too comfortable. She's doing fine until she had this traumatic event. And, you know, that's pretty traumatic. So gave her some time to settle in, come back to security and all of that, and I got too comfortable. But that wasn't pathological. That was just something to where a natural reluctance, I don't want to face that again.
Sure, and I think that's a really good example, because in that case, you were able to provide her support and structure and a little bit of a refuge while she got back on her feet. I'm guessing. I don't mean to assume anything. And then after that period of time, I'm guessing she was able to leave and basically be okay. And I think that's more often than not the story. Mm-hmm. One thing that I think, you know, I would point out is I've heard it's said at conferences and in presentations that we are infantilizing a generation of young adults by letting them stay at home, and that they're going to grow up and they're going to be incapable and not be able to run, you know, industry and country and et cetera. But if you look at Italy, or if you look at Argentina or Spain or any of these countries, you know, they're not, their societies are not on the brink of collapse. They've been doing this for many hundreds or thousands of years, having their children live at home until their 20s. And they're basically doing fine. Their societies are basically doing fine. Not without any problems, but certainly not on the verge of collapse. And so I think referring to this phenomenon as an epidemic, which I have heard it referred to, is a bit overblown.
It's a maybe a self-created epidemic. Our society's self-created epidemic, possibly.
Sure, and I think that's one of our points in our presentation was just it is our cultural expectation that's driving a lot of this. And again, there are those cases that are clinical and merit intervention, but I think in as many cases, it's not necessarily pathological, and it's more about the expectations that are placed on the young adult than there actually being something wrong with them. And I want to touch on the terminology again here. You know, okay. One of the reasons I want to throw out failure to launch, if possible, is because failure implies lack of success. And so we're coming at them with an agenda. You know, there's some other terms too. I've heard prolonged adolescence. Prolonged means longer than normal, aka not normal. I've heard late bloomer, in other words, not blooming on time. You know, so these terms that we can use have a lot of judgments, and they reveal a lot of bias and even a hidden agenda. Mm-hmm. And so I think the term emerging adulthood is pretty neutral, and it also sort of captures more accurately the process. Somebody age 20 to 25, for example, isn't emerging an adult. They're stepping into it. And so it's not necessarily that they have any problem. It's just everybody develops at a different speed.
You know, one thought I had when you were talking, and then we've got to wrap it up, we've about ran out of time, is that the industrialization in this country took this country by storm. You know, with the factory and the manufacturing. We tended to standardize everything, and I think you're talking about part of the problem is we standardized when a person is supposed to become an adult too much in this country.
I think you're exactly right, Lon. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think that's the thing is 18 is now become, this is when you're supposed to be an adult versus the truth about humanity is that everybody's kind of on a spectrum. Some people are going to be adults at 18, and some people at 26, 27 are going to need a lot of support and help
or
to get their life going, and it's okay.
Yeah, or even at 14. Some 14-year-olds are pretty mature running
right.
around. A few
Absolutely.
Exceptions. Okay, well, we right. about ran out of time, but I want to give you a half minute to talk about College XL. What is it? And a few words. And then if somebody wanted to talk to you or find out more about College XL, because this is the type of kids you work with, how would they get a hold of them? So first, what's College XL?
So College XL is a residential college support program. And we work with folks who want to attend college and get a degree but might need some extra help in the form of structure, skills training, life skills, et cetera. And so what we do, the type of client we typically work with is 18 to 26-year-old male and females. Most of our folks here have learning disabilities, dyslexia or dysgraphia, for example. They may have low processing speed on their testing. They're very bright people. A lot of them have ADD or ADHD, some depression and anxiety. And we provide a lot of academic coaching and life coaching services, as well as just a lot of wellness training to them to help them lead healthy, successful lives. And a lot of the folks we work with may not otherwise succeed in college without the additional supports that we provide. So that's what we do here, and if folks want to get in touch with us, our office number is 541-388-3043, and you can email us at info@collegeexcel.com, And I can also be reached at peter@collegeexcel.com. And our website, of course, is www.collegeexcel.com.
Okay, well, very good. That wraps it up. We've gone over a little bit over, but that's fine. We could talk all day on this, so maybe I'll have to have you back and follow some of the other questions. But thank you
well,
very much.
Thank you, Lon.
Thank you very much. Well, been talking with Peter Allen. He's a program director at College Excel, and the topic has been, when do kids become adults? Well, we got a few answers or speculation of that sort. But thank you very much, Peter. You have a good day.
Thank you, Lon. It was an honor to be here.